Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right. How's everybody doing? Hope you're having a wonderful weekend. Yours truly, you know what? Thank you, Vince McMahon. Thank you. You make today's show very, very easy. Welcome to the Don Tony Show for Saturday, January 7, 2023. Don't mind the Band-Aids. Don't mind the Band-Aids and the very pink, almost looking like a hairy baby's bottom, newborn. I had to get biopsies done on both sides of my thyroid yesterday. I got growths that are a little bit too big, and I don't mean these. So I'm not going to bore you with that, but I am very sore, very swollen. Probably will not be able to do any Don West impersonations, but today it's not about anything else but Vince McMahon. We were going to get into other topics as well, but, you know, we got a sit-down episode tomorrow, so anything you want to talk about, from Sasha Banks or Mercedes Moné, whatever you want to call her, to anything WWE feedback from today. We got the sit-down on Sunday. Monday, we have the post-Raw show, so we have plenty of time to get into other things, but today it's about Vince McMahon. If you are hiding under a rock, Vince McMahon, and I'm going to use my words very carefully today, Vince McMahon has returned to WWE corporate. I originally had this as Mr. McSalesman, but I think Mr. McChairman is back. And yeah, that is an actual screenshot from the stock market Friday afternoon, right before they pulled the plug on buying or selling WWE stock for a little while. Sometimes when a stock goes over a certain percentage, whether it's up or it's down, you know, with some crazy activity, the stock market will actually put future transactions on hold for a little while. It's almost like, calm down, Silva. You know, relax, relax. So yesterday's stock market blew up. Think about this. Vince McMahon yesterday made over $400 million. That is true. Now, I'm not going to sit here trying to come off as this polished journalist. I'm wearing a T-shirt. I'm not wearing a suit. I got my hat pushed back, and the background is what it is. It's things that I like, things that I cared for. So I'm just going to give it to you straight up. Almost like the Cliff Notes, you know, simple explanation. And I honestly believe if you were really, truly wanting to know the facts, what is happening, what could happen, and what will not happen, then I hope I do my job. The doom and gloom rants, that always gets attention. You get angry, livid, this, you know, that always gets attention. There's always a big audience for that. It stands out. You know, facts are boring. You know, unfortunately, we have realized that people in many cases are not interested in the truth. They just want gossip. They want reason to piss in the wind. They want reason to yell and scream. I'm going to tell you straight up of why Vince McMahon is back, what he's not going to do. And if you've been following my shows and my discussions on Vince for the last 2 years, this should not have surprised you at all. Understand, this is a billion-dollar company. Billions. Their market share, their value right now is over $5 billion. If you pay attention to the internet wrestling community, they treat WWE like it's an indie promotion. That stock went up 20% yesterday. That is billions of dollars of revenue. Stockholders, investors, the business world loved the idea that Vince is returning because they understand the reason why he's returning. You go on social media, they're going to put the mask back on Cross. They're going to bury Johnny Gargano. They're going to, oh, Vince is going to, Vince is not returning to creative. And you want to know why? It's common sense. It's all about the money. At this stage of the game, it's about money. It's about power. It's about WWE being the biggest it could possibly be. The vibe, the climate, wrestlers returning, this has all been a positive for WWE. Isn't it interesting, everyone? Isn't it interesting? When Vince McMahon announced his retirement, the stock went up and stood up. Now Vince McMahon is back, the stock goes up even more. Why was the stock doing so well if they really wanted his return? Because what Triple H has been doing, and Nick Khan and Stephanie and others, they've been doing an excellent job. As far as what we see on TV, they're all doing a great job. Vince McMahon doesn't have to prove to Wrestling Inc. that he's telling the truth. He doesn't have to prove it to Fightful. He doesn't have to prove it to you. He doesn't have to prove it to me. He has to prove it to the people that are working in that company. Vince McMahon returning is strictly corporate. He is not returning to WWE Creative. Sure, there's going to be things that he disagrees with. You don't think he hasn't sent text messages to wrestlers that he trusts? You don't think he's been sending texts to his own family? People, you think that he's not? The motherfucker owns 80% of WWE, or he's the majority owner. Imagine you being a billionaire and having majority ownership in a company, and you're going to sit back and have this much money invested in that company, that much power. You're going to just sit back and allow individuals, some on the board of directors that have been feeding crumbs to the Wall Street Journal. I think one of the two people who quit yesterday in WWE, I think one of the two was the one feeding everything to the Wall Street Journal. If you look at the timeline of when the Wall Street Journal started getting a little, all this dirt in advance, it happened after one of these two people who quit yesterday was hired. Very curious to see what transpires afterwards. So the deal is this, okay? I'm going to get into the stock part of things first. And then we'll lead into Vince McMahon's statement yesterday. And then I will read you a transcript. I want to thank everybody who sent this to me, of what Stephanie told all the corporate employees yesterday. Nick Khan and one or two others. I think Frank Riddick also made some comments. When you get done with this, understand that, you know, to them, this is a plus. I know you don't want to believe it, some of you. It is a plus. It is a huge plus. And we'll explain why. We'll explain why. One thing I'll tell you right off the bat, and I know I'm going to go a little bit out of place. I have everything here in order, but I definitely want to throw this out to you more than anything. Could WWE be sold in 2023? Yeah. Yeah. I remember maybe about a year, year and a half ago, I said I think within 5 years it would be sold. I think Vince McMahon is trying to either do an M&A, that's not the letter N, but the symbol N, M&A, which is merger and acquisition, or a flat-out sale. I think Vince wants to do this before he is no longer on this earth. And I want to make this clear to each and every one of you out there. I know this sounds morbid. The only way Vince McMahon will ever not have power in WWE is when he is deceased or if he is in jail. And unfortunately, the people that wish his demise cannot put, you know, rubbing alcohol in his coffee. They're not going to be able to put rat poison in his food. The only thing they possibly could do is try to push this narrative that he's going to go to jail. How many people fed you that last year, that some blockbuster is about to happen? Remember those people in the news world, not even talking about wrestling news, people in the news world that seemed disappointed that there wasn't more buzz circling Vince McMahon? Well, did you ever think that maybe, you know, in that strange world of entertainment and millionaires and billionaires, that are some people that do play the game for advancement, and then they break the bank as a result. You know, they made it seem like Vince forced himself. We don't know the truth. We don't know the truth. But the fact is, people took money instead of, you know, taking, you know, their asses to the police department or the police station. We don't know. But when you have people in the legitimate news world that are disappointed, that's agenda. That's not reporting news. That's agenda. That's what they want. And the Wall Street Journal was right at the top of that list. So here's what you need to know. And then we'll get into the stock and everything else. And I have tons of writing in front of me. WWE's TV deal, the rights deal with Fox and the USA Network expire next year. Next year. They want to start negotiations this year. And those corporate entities, those billion and trillion dollar outlets out there, these conglomerates, they want a deal with Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon, who owns, what, 80% of WWE, you think he's just going to sit back and let Nick Khan and Stephanie and Triple H and others dictate a sale of WWE that he owns 80% of, or whatever, he's the majority owner. Anybody with a half a brain would tell you that if I own my house, I own 80%, 90% of my house, and then I'm forced to stay somewhere else right now, I'm splitting up with my wife, which ain't happening, but, and then, hey, they want to sell the house. You know, the kids don't want to live there. She don't want to live. They want to sell the house. You mean to tell me that I'm going to just turn around and sit back and say, hey, all right, you know, the house is worth $1 million. Somebody's offering you $600,000 cash. Yeah, I'll just, you know, do whatever you want. It's cool. Vince McMahon built this company to what it is. That guy is, whether you like him or not, has put his entire life in pro wrestling. And it has sparked other companies and other people, you know, trying to do, you know, the alternative. That man always was going to be involved on the corporate side. We've talked about that countless times. Now, it's going to be really interesting because as far as we know, nothing has been settled with Rita Marie, that WWF referee, who is going to sue Vince McMahon if they don't work something out. That spa employee in California, I don't know what comes out of that. So keep that in mind. Those demand letters are circulating in the background. If you notice, it didn't get much traction because for, you know, 35 plus years, Vince McMahon has denied. You know, just because you keep saying and you keep saying and you keep saying doesn't add facts, doesn't take away facts either. We don't know what happened. But the thing is that Vince McMahon is the majority owner of this company. If they're going to negotiate billion-dollar media rights deals, understand something, which you probably don't know, because the internet wrestling community doesn't focus on things like this. Do you know last year WWE grossed over $1 billion revenue in the first time ever in any year? Last year, they grossed $1 billion in revenue. Now, think about ratings. Think about ticket sales. Think about, you know, just the overall perception that WWE isn't what it used to be. You think about the attitude here, and yes, you could adjust for inflation. Adjust for inflation, go right ahead. This is the first time $1 billion. Now you got USA Network and Fox coming up next year. Saudi Arabia is not too far away. And by the way, people out there saying, oh, Saudi Arabia might want to buy WWE. I didn't know Saudi Arabia had a penis or a vagina, or maybe both. What? That's a country. That's not a person. Saudi Arabia. New York might buy it. People are clickbaiting. Look at all the shit that you've been reading about Mercedes Moné is going to be. She will be at Dynamite next week, and she will wrestle. And remember what we talked about Wednesday. I'll be pleasantly surprised and I'll be very happy if she appears on Dynamite. But especially when we talk about her New Japan appearance in February, which we kind of already discussed on Wednesday, you know, you're not going to upstage that by having her appear, you know, oh, because Toni Storm got attacked by Hikaru Shida, we need a mystery part. Oh, Mercedes just happened to be in the crowd. Even maybe she does a save. You know, she does a save and shows up. That's fine. But, you know, the fact is people are clickbaiting. They do, because they don't want to waste the time on these facts. Now, let me give you a couple of things. All right, let's put this all together. Keep in mind about the media right deals. Now, M&A is something I said earlier, merger and acquisition. That you have to be worried about. That you have to be worried about. The only way Vince McMahon will no longer be in power in WWE is if he is dead, arrested, or if the company is flat out sold. If the company is flat out sold and he sells all of his shares, he's out. He's out. But they are more interested in merger and acquisition. Scissor me, NBC Universal. You merge. You acquire. You get bigger and better. Bigger, better, badder. That is something that is being discussed as well. I have a quote that I'm going to share with you in a little bit. When you hear it, that you got to be concerned about. Because if WWE merges with a company, that means Vince could very well still be in power. Vince could very well still be a majority owner. Even could be 51%. But really, when you think about it, the only three ways Vince McMahon is no longer in power: dead, arrested, sold. That's it. Period. Okay, now as far as stock, let me explain this. And again, I'm not a polished professional, but I think you'll understand it pretty easy. In stock, there are two different types of shares. Class A, common stock, Class B. When we buy WWE stock, and I own WWE stock about 20 years ago, I didn't own much. I think I owned 100 shares. I had Class A stock. I had no voting power. Zero. Class B stock, though, gives you 10 times the voting power. So if you own 10 shares of one or one share of the other, the voting power is the same. Get a load of this, okay? Let me give you Stephanie McMahon as an example. Stephanie McMahon owns, I would say, about a little less than 2 million shares of stock, okay? Do you know out of the 2 million shares of stock, only about 70,000 of them are Class A? Now, remember, Class B shares give you 10 times the voting power. So she's got almost 2 million shares, and 1,900,000 of them, each one of those shares is 10 times the voting power. It's like I have a dollar and you have 10 cents. So when you heard a couple of years ago, oh, Stephanie sold 40% of her Class A stock. If you take that zero off of it, as far as voting power goes, that is only about 4% of the overall voting power that she had. So just put it in perspective. Now, let's look at who has voting power in WWE. As far as the investors go, Lindsay Train Limited is the biggest institutional owner, biggest company out there as far as shares. They own 14% of WWE shares, which gives them about 3% of the voting power. 3%. Stephanie McMahon, she owns about 2%. Of the shares, but because she has so many of Class B stock, she has 5% voting power. Now, I'm going to jump a little ahead, but you'll find this very, very interesting. Class B shares were only available to the McMahon family. And the Class B shares could only be inherited or transferred down to descendants of the McMahon family. You can't sign it over to John Laurinaitis. You can't sign it over to Triple H. You can't sign it over to your dog. It can only be assigned to descendants of the McMahon family. Shane McMahon had a small number of Class B shares. He sold them all in 2014. So a lot of people now say, Shane McMahon has no voting power at all. When Vince McMahon passes, if they still own WWE shares, WWE power, Vince could leave a third of his shares to his son. So just because Shane McMahon has no voting power right now doesn't mean he doesn't have voting power once Vince is gone. So keep that in mind. Stephanie McMahon only has 5% voting power right now. But Vince McMahon, in his will, when he leaves his stock, if it still has it when he passes, it's not automatically given to his wife. Linda McMahon right now only owns 1% of the total shares. And they're all Class B stock. Linda McMahon doesn't have much voting power either. And plus, we hear about their relationship. Vince McMahon, we don't know what he put in his will, but there's no guarantee that Vince McMahon is going to take his 80% of voting power, 83% voting power, and give it all to his wife. A lot of people think that if Vince were to pass tomorrow, that Linda goes in the office and she's got the 83% voting power and she is the new person. No, it's probably Stephanie. Even though Stephanie right now only has 5% voting power, once Vince is gone, I don't want to see him to pass away anytime soon, but once he's gone, she can end up with 88% voting power. She may have more power than Vince did. I don't know what Vince, in his will and testament with the shares, we don't know who the beneficiaries are. We'll never know. But just keep that in mind when we discuss what we're discussing right now. So Linda McMahon only has 1% of the total shares. Stephanie owns 2% of all the shares. She only has 5% voting power. Triple H holds about 70,000 shares. Triple H is not able to get Class B stock. Triple H has literally no voting power whatsoever. So when people say, oh, they left Triple H out, why isn't Triple H it? He doesn't have the voting power. It's nothing personal. It's not that he's on the outs. It's not they're trying to bury his legacy. It's just that people don't know these facts. Again, there's so many people out there that don't want to know this. But I truly believe once you understand all of this, you understand why Vince McMahon is back. Vince McMahon is not back to kill WWE. Vince McMahon is back to try to make as much money as possible for WWE. I know people refuse to accept that. They can't accept it. If this all makes sense to them and they're assured that he's not going to hurt the product we watch on TV, their argument is dead. Their whole viewpoint is dead. So they have to ignore this stuff. If you just look at it, this is a multi-billion dollar company. Vince McMahon is returning to kill his creation. What fucking planet? Seriously, just take a step back and think about that. Why wouldn't everybody in WWE corporate just walk out right now and protest? That guy's back to kill a company. Do you realize how much money people made yesterday? Do you realize how much money all the investors, even wrestling fans that might own 100 shares in stock. Think about how much money everybody made yesterday. The people that cry death on Vince McMahon are usually people that just don't care about the business side. They look at WWE like an indie company. They don't look at the bottom line. They don't look at the investors. When Vince got interviewed by Pat McAfee and Vince started, but people called Vince a liar. You know, with a $1 billion publicly traded company, it's very, very hard to lie. It's very, very hard to lie. If Vince decides, hey, you know, I do want to get creative again, I'll be the first here to bash him to pieces. But Vince is satisfied with the results of what Triple H and Bruce Pritchard and Kevin Dunn and Stephanie and Nick Khan. He's satisfied. look at how much money Vince has made from the time he retired to now. The guy has made billions, over $1 billion. So when people are like, oh, he's got to give back all the money and the lawyer fees for the investigation. That's like turning around and giving a dollar. The guy made $400 million yesterday. Hey, you got to pay like $3 million to the lawyers. You know, it's because people don't pay attention to stuff like this. Okay, so now we get to Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon owns 37.5% of the total shares in WWE. Wait, he only owns 37%. I thought he was the majority owner. Most of his shares are Class B. He's got 83%. He is the majority owner because he owns that percentage, but he has 83% voting power. Any decisions that are made, anything, media rights, TV deals, sales, merging with another company, acquiring another company, that all has to go through Vince McMahon. Whether you like it or you don't like it, that's the fact. He has 83% voting power. He's had that for quite some time. So when people actually give this narrative that Vince was sitting at home, going out to dinner, you know, having fun with his mistress, says maybe multiple, you know, no, that's not true. The guy doesn't just sit back and just look at his bottom line and say, hey, look how much money I made today. Why would anybody do that? So understand the voting power when it comes to these big decisions. So now we have the TV deals coming up next year. Vince McMahon is close to 80 years old. Vince McMahon knows that the time is ticking. Vince McMahon wants to see something big happen. If this guy drops next year, he wants to go out of style with WWE being the biggest it possibly could be. The man is a businessman. He's not an emotional clickbaiter online. So now with the TV deals coming up, who's negotiating? All right. He doesn't have the people in place that were in place when they did the original deals. Nick Khan wasn't, you know, full-blown in WWE, except for the last couple of years. George Barrios, or what was her name, Michelle Wilson, they ended up leaving a while back. And I think, actually, Nick Khan came in after them. But, you know, during this period, now you have rights that have to be negotiated. So he put himself back in WWE corporate. So now I'm going to read you some press releases. Then I'll read you some specific comments from Vince, Stephanie, and a few others. And then you'll understand why he is back and what he will be doing, what he will not be doing. Okay. Vince McMahon, this was the title of the press release. Vince McMahon takes actions in support of a plan for WWE to undertake a review of strategic alternatives and capture unique opportunities to maximize long-term value for all shareholders. Vince McMahon, founder and controlling shareholder of WWE, announced January 6th that he has taken necessary actions to position the company to capitalize on a unique opportunity to maximize long-term value to shareholders. The actions communicated to the WWE Board of Directors via written consent include the election of Mr. McMahon to the board, as well as Michelle Wilson and George Barrios, the former WWE co-presidents and board members. They are currently the co-founders and co-CEOs of Isos Capital Management. Mr. McMahon expects to assume his role of executive chairman of the board. Mr. McMahon's new role will enable unified decision-making through the company's upcoming media rights negotiations and a parallel full review of the company's strategic alternatives. Mr. McMahon believes this is the right course of action in the best interest of WWE and the WWE shareholders. As Mr. McMahon has communicated to the board, he believes there is a narrow window of opportunity to create significant value for all the shareholders, and that to do so, the strategic alternatives review must occur in tandem with the media rights negotiations. Fox, USA, things like that. Okay. He also expressed to the board that he believes that these two initiatives require Mr. McMahon's direct participation, leadership, and support as the controlling shareholder. As we said earlier, these conglomerates want to deal with Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon has that majority ownership of WWE. He's not going to sit back and watch USA or NBC or Disney or Fox or anybody else negotiate the future of WWE. And he just sits back and just accepts what happens. Why? So it pleases the internet, the internet wrestling community. Here is Vince's quotes. WWE is entering a critical juncture in its history with the upcoming media rights negotiations, coinciding with increased industry-wide demand for quality content and live events, and with more companies seeking to own the intellectual property on these platforms. This is Vince's quotes. The only way for WWE to fully capitalize on this opportunity is for me to return as executive chairman and support the management team in the negotiation for our media rights and to combine that with a review of strategic alternatives. My return will allow WWE, as well as any transaction counterparties, to engage in these processes, knowing that they will have the full support of the controlling shareholder. Basically, if Vince wasn't back, Vince would not agree to any deals. If I'm not back in that corporate position, negotiate all you want. Nothing goes through without me. That's the truth. What do you like it? And notice here, I'm not bashing him, not praising him. I'm just telling you the truth. Following conversations with representatives of the company, both before and Mr. McMahon's most recent letter, dated December 31st, Mr. McMahon determined, consistent with his rights as controlling shareholder, that the steps announced today are necessary to maximize the value for all shareholders. Now, as far as these letters go, remember when we heard that Vince McMahon felt that he got bad advice? It had nothing to do with creative. It had to do with him stepping down and letting WWE board of directors negotiate the future of WWE without his involvement. Just sitting at home. You know, Vince, you know, we're going to sell to you NBC Universal. You know, I know you own the majority, but hey, you know, you're retired. You're sitting home. He feels he got bad advice. Who gave him that advice? I have no idea. All right. Oh, when we get into who stepped down, it's pretty interesting. All right. Mr. McMahon said, and I quote, Ms. Wilson and Mr. Barrios are highly qualified directors whose professional experience positions them well to help the company achieve the best possible outcomes in these initiatives. As former WWE co-presidents and board members, they are intimately familiar with the industry dynamics and the organization's operations that have helped guide the company through past successful media rights negotiations. Vince wants them there because they negotiated in the past. I look forward to working closely again with Michelle and George. WWE has an exceptional management team in place, and I do not intend for my return to have any impact on their roles, duties, or responsibilities. That one statement is where the internet wrestling community says this. Fuck you, Vince. You're a fucking liar. Fuck you, Vince. That's a fake tweet, by the way. Fuck you, Vince. Vince McMahon is not looking for the assurance of the internet wrestling community. He wants to have Stephanie, Nick Khan, Triple H, and others to rest easy that what they are doing, he is not going to interfere with. He is back there on hand to see and document and witness and be a part of all the negotiations for any future TV deals, a possible sale, a merger and or an acquisition, he wants to be hands-on. He's got that right. He's the majority owner. He is the majority shareholder. He has 83% voting power. Why would you not expect this? Whether we like it or we don't like it, you look at it and you say, makes sense. He wants to be part of whatever goes on in the future. He built it. He's not looking to dismantle it. That's what a lot of people, you know, just that's where facts go out the door and, hey, look at me, pay attention to me, click my stuff, agree with me, yell with me. Now, just because he is back, there's no guarantee of any of this going down. You know, just because you negotiate a deal doesn't mean that both sides come to an agreement. That is something very important you need to understand in the back of your mind. So, who was taken out of the company? Okay, now, in order to bring those two individuals on the company, three members of the board were removed. Okay, so they had to make room for Mr. McMahon and George Batios and Michelle Wilson. So now, in addition to three members being removed, two quit. And the two that quit, one of them, his name is Ignace Laroud, I believe it is. Ignace Laroud. He worked with Fox, not Fox, but Vox with a V. All right. He has been there since around 2000, I think, in 18. So he's been there for a little while. He quit upon Vince McMahon's return. The other person that quit is this man, Manjeet Singh. And he has actually an interesting wrestling tie in the past. That is him right there. He worked with Sony. He worked with various companies. The interesting thing about this gentleman is he came to the company in May of 2022. And a lot of people, I mean, look, we're not pointing the finger, but a lot of people speculate that Manjeet Singh was the one that absolutely despised Vince McMahon. Some people have said that he is one of the ones who spearheaded the investigation of Vince McMahon. There are a lot of people who won't publicly say it, but there are a lot of people believe that he is the one that was leaking out a lot of the dirt about Vince online, you know, to various media outlets. I'm not talking about wrestling news outlets. I'm talking about big time news outlets, Wall Street Journal and others. We'll never know the truth, but it's going to be interesting to see when future dirt comes out, who actually gets it, you know, outside of a press release. You know, some things were being leaked out. And remember early on, a lot of wrestling news sites, again, do not pay attention to wrestling news sites, you know, as far as, you know, details like that, unless they actually do research. But most of them out there, oh, Stephanie's trying to stab her father in the back. Oh, Nick Khan wants all the power. That's based on what? That's based on titillating your juices. It's not based on anything whatsoever. So, you know, you got to pay attention to the business news world. The business news world is the one that truly dictates how and why things are being done. If you look at the internet wrestling, if you base Vince's return on the internet wrestling community, you are to believe that, oh, he is back because he can't stand what they're doing, bringing in Hit Row and Karrion Kross and Johnny Gargano, and oh my God, they're going to bring in Chelsea Green again and this and that, that he can't stand sitting back and that, oh, people who were hired now got to be worried that Vince is going to fucking ruin them. Vince is happy with the jobs that WWE Creative has done since he retired because the employees are happier, the company is stronger, the energy and the future and the perception is bright, And that is what you want when you want to negotiate TV deals. When people see, you know, you had Steve Austin return, The Rock is going to appear at Mania. You could have, you know, other, you know, everything that's positive, and you got the vibes and you got everybody happy. You know, this affects the bottom line. If everybody is, you know, angry, distraught, they want to quit, they want this, they want that, people don't want to invest in something like that. Nobody wants to invest in a dumpster fire. So, sure, Vince could do what he wants. He's the boss. He could do whatever he wants. But he understands that he needs those people to be in the positions that they're in. You know, if you see John Laurinaitis back or something like that, that's where you start raising holy hell. But Vince has made it clear. And the letter that he wrote was December 31st, everyone, 1 week ago. Vince wrote two letters in December telling WWE what his intentions were. And Vince said that if we're going to negotiate deals, you got to do it with me involved. I'm the majority owner. I have 83% voting power. If you plan on doing this stuff, you got to do it with me. Everybody in the company understands that. So, now, let's go a little bit further. As I said earlier, the TV rights deals for Fox and the USA Network expire next year, and negotiations are supposed to start this year. Now, here's where it gets interesting. The strategic thinking with Vince McMahon and some people in that company is that a larger deal, like a merger and an acquisition, might be the way to go instead of a flat-out sale. Think about that for a minute. Let's say Universal, NBC, Fox, whoever wants to work out a deal with WWE, instead of just media rights paying $1 billion for a TV deal, hey, maybe we could do $3 billion and we have a little bit of a merger in some capacity. So they're looking for not only media right negotiations, but maybe we could do a little bit more. So that is something you have to think about, that, okay, you know, you don't want to spend $10 million on buying WWE and you get $1 billion for a media rights deal that expires after a bunch of years. How's about we do something bigger than a media rights deal and, you know, we have a little bit of a merger? If that happens, Vince McMahon could still be in power. Again, the only way Vince will ever be out of the WWE corporate is death, jail, or sale. Flat out sale. Merger could keep him in charge. Keep that in mind. Now, yesterday, because people weren't in the office, they had to do some type of, I don't know if it was a Skype or a Zoom call, but Stephanie, Nick Khan, and Frank Riddick were on the call. All of the corporate employees within WWE were, I don't want to say invited, but they were pretty much required to connect to the call, and they discussed the return of Vince McMahon. And this is not a full transcript. Some of you gave this to me. I saw some websites actually posting, you know, paragraphs of it. So I'm just going to read you some highlights. This is what Stephanie had to say, Nick Khan, and Frank Riddick. And remember, again, Triple H is not part of this, and it's not a nefarious thing. Just understand, you know, who does what in the corporate, especially. Stephanie announced to the corporate employees that Vince McMahon is coming back to the board of directors. He made it clear upon his return what he's really most excited about is the media rights opportunity in front of us, and that we've all been discussing and tying that to a strategic alternative process. We want to make sure we got with everyone as soon as possible so you're aware of this and we can explain a little bit more about it. Frank Riddick says, at a very high level, what Vince has proposed and the process that would be followed would be to engage with a banker and prepare some background information on the company and present that to potential partners for the company. M&A, to evaluate whether there are any strategic transactions that would enhance the value of the company to all its constituents, including shareholders. Any idea, Stephanie McMahon had said, the timing of this is largely driven around the upcoming media rights renewals and to do something that could enhance those media rights renewals. So that would include strategic initiatives, strategic alternatives, which could include a broad range of potential transactions. Everything from a combination with another company, M&A. An acquisition of a company by someone, M&A. Or a take private transaction, taking the company private, and or just simply sort of cooperation joint venture agreement. Now, taking WWE private again, I think that's probably the least likely scenario, everyone, but that is something that is being discussed as well. Definitely something that you have to keep in the back of your mind. If WWE goes private again, you know, things are much, much different. Vince is the controlling shareholder and controls the vote of the stock. The company is the ultimate decider as to where a transaction happens or it doesn't happen. Everything that we talk about today, that one sentence sums up why Vince is back. It's not about creative. It's not about trying to kill a company. He's not going to kill a company. Look again, my friends, look at this. That was yesterday. If investors, the financial world thought Vince was coming back to kill his creation, you would not see the stock go up 22%. That is billions of dollars, everyone. You know, you look at this, and this is the real world, everyone, and this is the internet wrestling community world. That is the difference. Which side? Now, you could be part of both. You know, you just don't like Vince McMahon. Fuck you, you motherfucker. You got $450 million yesterday, you pig. All right, I don't blame people for hating Vince McMahon, but you have to understand why he's back. People are going to try to doom and gloom you and convince you that he's going to fuck everything. And here's the worst part about it. Before we finish this up, because we're almost done. I'm good. Here's the worst part about all of this. You know this is coming. Be prepared for this. Be prepared. Not every Triple H rehire has worked out great. Let's be honest. You know, and it's creative. You know, I have expressed my feelings on the use of Emma to Neil Dashwood since she's returned. Hit Row yesterday turned heel, which I love. We'll talk about that maybe on the sit down tomorrow, Monday. There's been a couple of re-signings. Braun Strowman has been excellent. There's been a couple others that have kind of like, you know, fizzled out. And you ask yourself, like, why was this person brought in? Or people. You know that if any of those hires start to get buried, not used, or even released again, everybody will immediately say that was a Vince McMahon move. See, Vince McMahon's already getting it. So now if Triple H... Because again, Triple H is part of the machine. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing or a good thing. I'm just telling it like it is. Triple H is part of the machine. If you look at a lot of the creative, if you look at a lot of the storylines, you look at a lot of the finishes, I mean, there's no different. But understand that some people are going to be let go. Some people are not going to work out. And the problem is that people have painted this narrative that Vince has tried to fuck up everything that Triple H did. The minute Triple H makes a decision of releasing someone or feels, you know what, you know, we can't push this person, people aren't going to take it out on Triple H. They're going to say, oh, fucking Vince got his ass involved. Vince is leaking things to Bruce Pritchard. You know, Bruce, bury that person. Put a mask back on him. You know, call him this. You know, people will say, oh, that wasn't a Triple H move. That was a Vince move. But we won't be able to... That's what you're going to start seeing happen. So I do feel a little bad for Triple H because some decision that he makes, you know, whether good or bad, it's going to get thrown as Vince. And it doesn't that, like, isn't that a little reminiscent of TNA on a much, much smaller scale? Remember, you know, everything was blamed on Russo. Blame Russo. Blame Russo. Blame Russo. And then you find out in shoot interviews years later, like, oh, he had nothing to do with that. He had nothing to do with that. I mean, he really didn't have anything to do with that. Oh, that wasn't his idea. But at the time, everything was blame Russo. Blame Russo. Blame Russo. I'm not saying that he is, you know, immune to bad decisions. He's had his share. But that's going to be the narrative going forward. Get prepared for it because that's going to happen. So just to wrap this up, Frank Riddick says, and then we'll get to Nick Khan and then Stephanie with some very interesting comments to close it out. Nick Khan says, and I quote, how Vince's return, the media rights, and these possible deals go hand in hand. Nick Khan says, for example, since our U.S. media rights are up in October of 2024, for any conglomerate, so think Disney, Comcast, Netflix, etc., any conglomerate that might be interested in WWE would be interested in purchasing the company outright. They very well may be interested in doing a media rights deal. But obviously, we couldn't do a media rights deal with Comcast and then sell to Disney. Doesn't it sound so easy to make sense? Think about that for a minute. Media rights deal are coming up in October of next year. So in order to negotiate, media rights go hand in hand with a possible sale because you can't ink a media rights deal with one and sell it to the other. He says that very well may be interested in doing a media rights deal, but obviously we couldn't do a media rights deal, let's say with Comcast and sell to Disney. Those sort of companies would want to make some sort of acquisition prior to those media rights being up. So the timing is spot on for that now. In terms of the day-to-day of the company, nothing is changing. It's Nick Khan saying this. Day-to-day operations, nothing is changing. Stephanie is in her role. I am in my role. Frank is in his role. Paul, Triple H, is in his role. Kevin Dunn is in his role. And we would ask everyone to stay focused on the business at hand. We are going to engage in this process. We're going to look at it with open eyes and open hearts. We're going to ultimately see what is out there. Vince will make his decision. He is the controlling shareholder as to what he wants to do with the company. So for now, let's focus on the business's hand if we could. And Stephanie finishes up and says, she talks about Michelle Wilson and George Barrios returning. She says they are very familiar with the company. They will be joining the board, not the management. Not the management. And again, she wants to wrap up by reinforcing, A, there have been a lag on, that's just technical stuff. When Frank talks about how well-positioned WWE is and our performance, the reason why we're doing so well is because of all of you, because of our employees who bring everything that they have to the table every single day. We are grateful, we're appreciative, and we want you to know that our employees are incredibly important to us. We recognize all your contributions, and you will be well-informed throughout the process. We don't want there to be animosity, and obviously there's going to be some animosity. She admits it. There's going to be some animosity. Angst, natural emotions that you might feel. And we want to make sure that we're on top of this and we're communicating with you and everyone has all the information that they need. She finishes up by saying this is an exciting time. It should not be a scary time. It's an exciting time for WWE. Our founder is back on the board and is going to help lead the process. Thank you, all of you. It's an exciting way to kick off 2023. That is what went down yesterday. So, in summary, Vince McMahon is back in corporate because you got some big media rights deals coming up. And why just do a media rights deal? Look at the economy. Look at, you know, look at what's going on. They made $1 billion last year the first time. And think of it, during COVID, in an economy the way it was. WWE is not just about live events, premium live events, ticket sales. For us wrestling fans, that's all WWE is about. You know, buying some merchandise, going to see an event in person, you know, buying a little memorabilia, you know, buying a premium live event. And even with that, you subscribe to Peacock. They got their money already. So you're paying Peacock to watch it for the most part. So what we look at is WWE, and what WWE's revenue is based on is two totally different things. And that is why I say, with respect, that's why you really can't base your overall perception of why Vince is back on the internet wrestling community. Because none of what I said really has to do with you, I, or anything else. It obviously does in a degree, because if WWE is sold, or if WWE merges with another company, you know, that's obviously something we would want to know. I mean, my God, look what happened with WCW in 2001. You know, look at, you know, the AOL Time Warner deal that led to WCW's demise. The AOL Time Warner deal is what killed WCW more than anything else. People say, oh, no, it was creative. Yeah, well, that was a big part of it as well. It was losing tons of money. But just think about, if you want a good example, just think about WCW in 2001. 2000. They lost so much money, but yet they were still decent ratings enough where they were the highest rated shows on Turner. WCW was still the highest on Turner, but they were hemorrhaging money. And the corporate part of it that invested in WCW, they're like, we don't want this. Let's take this off the books. A lot of people don't understand what happened with AOL Time Warner and some deals that went bad very quickly. If you ever do some research, check out what happened with AOL Time Warner in 2000 and 2001, especially to, you know, late 2000. You start seeing some of these mega deals that went south quickly. They were trying to cut anything that was hurting their bottom line. Now you look at WWE in 2022, and they generate $1 billion, 2021, I think, $1 billion. Billion. So you see that. You have people in place. The vibe is good. The future is excitement. You know, wrestlers are happy. Storylines are great. You know, what we see on TV. And that's something that you want to invest in. So right now, could the bloodline be any better? Having Steve Austin come back for a cup of coffee, John Cena making some cameos, The Rock, you know, just the vibe of the company. Can it get any better? Would this be the perfect time to just show those outlets out there, look at what we got? Vince McMahon feels the time is right now. And in my honest opinion, and I'll add this, we don't know how many years Vince McMahon is going to be on this earth. We don't know when he's going to pass. None of us know when we're going to pass. Vince wants this deal done before he passes. You know, that's the bottom line. We don't know who he leaves his stock to. We don't know what is going to happen. But next year, you got these deals coming up, and he wants to be hands-on involved with it. And again, the stock market reacted in a way I don't think I expected. I don't think a lot of you expected. If you would have based it on the internet reaction in the internet wrestling community, you would have expected that stock to tank, that it would, should have lost 20%. This motherfucker is going to kill everything that's been built the last 6 months. But what happens? This is what happens. And whether we like it or we don't like it, that is what you have to pay attention to. Because if they're going to work out a deal with Fox or Disney, which I don't think will happen, with Comcast or NBC Universal or anybody, they want to present, this is how much we made. This is what we got. Look at what we are offering now. The vibe, the climate, the diversity. They're going to go to England next year for a premium live event. How long has that been? Decades? You know, you see them selling 80,000 seats, 70,000 seats. You know, Royal Rumble, the attendance they're going to get. WrestleMania weekend. This is crazy, crazy money. Even Saudi Arabia, the amount of money when they have to renegotiate a new deal with Saudi Arabia, if they do, you know, look, if this company is sold, you know, who knows if there's another Saudi Arabia deal. This is why Vince McMahon feels now is the time. Now is the time. You know, I'll leave you with this. We're gonna wrap this up in a moment. I'll leave you with this. You know, what, it was only about 2 years ago that a lot of finance sites, a lot of financial outlets recommended WWE as a sale. You know, if you ever go check out some finance sites and they talk about stocks and they'll recommend buy, sell, hold, you know, they try to predict. It's only about 2 years ago. And remember, as when we talked about the mass firings not too long ago, you know, when you talk about WWE letting go 100, 150 people, you know, whether it's through COVID or your views about that, understand that a boatload of people were signed around, what was it, 2018? I think it was somewhere, it was either 2016 or 2018. If you go back at that time when the WWE stock hit $100 a share, that's when WWE started signing, giving 3-year deals to tons and tons of people. Then when the stock started declining and then we got COVID and then the stock went from $100 a share to $55 a share, WWE's like, we have too many people under contract. We got COVID. We don't need this many people. We have the company's not worth what it used to be. They started cutting everything back. They started trimming the roster, trimming the overhead. And remember when some people said, oh, they're doing this because they're going to prime themselves for a sale. Yeah. Investors want to see that a company is managing their money properly. That is the difference between Tony Khan and AEW and WWE, and that is not a knock on Tony Khan. When it's a private company, you could lose $100 million a year. You're the investor. You, if you have billions and you want to lose $100 million a year and you're happy and your fans are happy, nothing wrong with that. There's no, I'm not saying that Tony Khan is doing that, but that's what happens with a private company. I do what I want. If I want to lose money every year, that's fine with me. When you're a publicly traded company, though, every little dollar you spend, you got to answer to your investors, your stockholders. And when you see billions being made, you know, obviously something you're doing in the business world is deemed positive. Politically, emotionally, we may not like it, but the business world, yeah, they're the ones that, at the end of the day, matter out of all of this. You know, you could turn around and say, I'm not going to watch WWE anymore. I'm not gonna, you're not going to hurt anything but your entertainment. Because even though Vince might be evil to you and he, you know, is a devil and this and that, you're missing out on some quality entertainment on TV. Yesterday we had some fun programming. And, yeah, we'll talk about it. So, before I go, just a couple of super shout-outs, if you don't mind. And by the way, I know this is not WWE-related, but I saw this morning, Eric Williams. Yeah, 8 years ago, I lost a good friend of mine, Timmy Arson, Timmy Culkins, who you knew, most of you, is the ECW zombie. He used to do a wrestling hotline with me well over 20 years ago, and Timmy was good people. I miss that guy. So many private stories. I never forget the bar incident with the glass that we talked about many years ago. Oh, man. Maybe we'll reminisce a little Timmy on tomorrow's show, if you all want it. If you don't want it, we don't have to, but 8 years already, man. That guy's gone. 8 fucking years. Timmy, I miss you, buddy. I miss you. Thank you, Eric, for doing that. Ronnie C., DT, convinced me why Vince will not get involved in WWE Creative again. Thank you for the 20 spot. Because Vince wants results. Vince wants success. Vince is not trying to kill the company. Vince is not stupid. These media outlets are not stupid. The media outlets want to negotiate with Vince. You think Vince wants to come back and be circled around a roster that is not happy? You listen, I mean, the prediction right now, And I guarantee you by tomorrow, you'll see this online, everyone. Our sources tell us that many people in the WWE locker room are very, very concerned about Vince McMahon's return. Many people in the locker room are very, very angry. Vince McMahon assured them that he was retiring, and now he is back. And the climate in the locker room appear to be very shaky right now. Angry, uneasy. I think uneasy will be the clickbait word. You're going to see it everywhere. You're going to see it everywhere. Vince McMahon wants Triple H to be happy, wants Stephanie to be happy, wants Nick Khan to be happy, wants the fans to be happy, wants the investors to be happy, wants the media outlets to be happy. The guy wants to make billions. The guy is a greedy billionaire. This is not about creative anymore. This is about media rights. This is about hundreds of millions of dollars, not a $300,000 contract of a wrestler. It's not about that anymore. Vince has to tell the investors. This is the best way I could convince each and every one of you out there. Vince wrote two letters to the board of directors, the WWE corporate, wrote two letters over the last month telling him he wants back and why he wants back. He has to tell the investors. They have to issue the press release. They have to tell what his role is going to be, what he plans on doing, what he will do. If Vince were to get involved in WWE Creative again, we will know about it. Not through our sources tell us. If his duties involve creative, it has to be revealed. It has to be told. And until that happens, I'm not going to brainwash anyone that that is happening when there is no proof that it has. So right now, he has zero to do with creative. Although, as I said before, I guarantee you he has sent a text message to people, hey, you know, why this? Or what's the thinking of this? Or what do you think? Why not? The guy is a majority owner and vote getter of the company. That's his right. It's his right, whether we like it or not. But if he's going to be involved in any creative capacity, we'll know about it. And not through a our sources tell us deal. You know, because like I said, most of those outlets out there, they know Vince, Triple H, George Barrios, Michelle Wilson, Nick Khan, Frank Riddick, Stephanie McMahon, Triple H. You know, they're not going to go on social media and go to Ringside News and say, you're a liar. That's not true. Vince is not involved in this. Nobody's going to call him out, so they can say whatever they want. The best was the Saudi Arabia one yesterday. I actually legitimately laughed, and it hurt my fucking throat from the biopsy shit. I actually looked at that, and I'm like, yeah, Saudi Arabia's going to buy it. You know, like, Saudi Arabia is a country. It's not an individual. And no, the country doesn't. And what is it going to air on? Al Arabiya TV? Oh, yeah, they're going to sell it to Saudi Arabia, and it's going to air on Disney. Stupid. Some people are stupid. Oh, did you send it to me twice? Okay, thank you for the 10 spot also. Much love. I don't know, was that a faux pas on your part? But thank you, I appreciate it. Or did you really want me to convince you? I hope I did. Listen, I just want good quality programming. I want the company to succeed. Because if the company succeeds, you get your premium live event in the UK. You get the 80,000 seat arena. You don't get they go and they go the extra mile. They pay the extra money to bring in someone. They up their quality even more. You know, and let's also understand something too. The wrestlers are making good money right now. These wrestlers are making good money. If WWE is not going well and Vince is trying to kill his creation and the stock tanks, that's when people get released. If we didn't have COVID and the stock was still $100 a share, those 150 people might have only been 10 or 20 that would have been released. So understand, you want WWE to succeed, not because Vince makes hundreds of millions or billions. It's because the more success they have, the more everybody benefits from it. Now, that doesn't mean a crappy wrestler is going to break the bank simply because WWE is doing well. You got to deliver on TV. you don't deliver on TV. You know, I don't want to put anybody as an example, but, you know, you can't just turn around and think you got job security because WWE stock is almost at $90 or $80 a share. So Dream 101 says, I don't care if Vince comes back. WWE's been the same with small changes here and there. Triple H did not set the world on fire. Thank you for the five-spot, Dream. Triple H was never supposed to set the world on fire. People made it a big deal that they used the term hospital instead of a local facility. I don't care about terms like that. Let me see, you know, a 10-15 minute banger. You know, you think Gunther versus Sheamus, those two matches, do you think that we would have had the possibility of even going that extra mile if Vince was still creative? Believe me, Triple H has definitely had a factor on who is given a little bit of an extra chance. That is, I think, the biggest difference between Triple H and Vince McMahon. I think Triple H wants a little bit more long-term planning, giving someone who he feels can deliver, gives him that little bit extra time to do so. And with Vince McMahon, a lot of times, you know, after a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months at most, pulls the plug, changes things up dramatically, shifts, you know, and he is very character-driven, you know. Plus, he's older. I'm sure, you know, just human nature, the mind doesn't work as good as it used to. So you go with what you think works best based on history. So Triple H was never supposed to set the world on fire. But the energy, the vibe, the way some people are used, giving a little bit extra time, opportunity for someone, don't just do one and done with some people. Triple H has definitely had some positive influence. But, you know, we've called it out. Look at the finishes. How many times? Oh, he doesn't know that, or she doesn't know that the tag was made. And there was a couple of weeks where like 80% of the matches on the show was the same finish. How many times, week after week, oh, they did it again. They did it again. They did it again. And 50-50 booking. You know, so Triple H hasn't been perfect. But he was never supposed to be perfect. But Triple H has definitely improved the vibe, the climate, the culture. Wrestlers don't feel like they're on eggshells. Listen, those wrestlers know there's always somebody in that company looking to take their spot. That's a fact. AEW, WWE, anywhere. There's always a wrestler looking to take your spot if they could because they want to get the opportunity. But Triple H has removed that, hey, if you got a creative idea, you think something would really, really work, come to me. That is awesome. That is awesome. That is something that Vince McMahon, other than a select group of people, would allow. So believe me, I tell you, not everything that Triple H has done positive, we actually see on TV. But he has definitely helped a tremendous amount. So, all right. Kevon Lewis, he predicts Crappage and Battle of the Belts get 205,000 viewers. Yeah, well, we'll talk about Battle of the Belts maybe a little tomorrow or Monday. I did watch it yesterday. I was in the watch party early, but, you know, this shit was just, it was swollen. It still is swollen. If you look, I look like, you know, I got fucking, like, I don't know what. I can't take the Band-Aids off for another 16 hours or whatever. So I can't get it wet. But I just didn't feel well. I still don't feel well, but I watched it yesterday. You know, it was strategically placed at 11 p.m. because, you know, look at the matches on there. You know, I like Sky Blue. Anybody think that Jade Cargill was going to lose? You know, they were hyping up matches for next week's Rampage or next week's Dynamite. Like, make Battle of the Belts feel like a one-hour pay-per-view. It doesn't have to have pay-per-view quality matches, but I did like the Acclaimed Jarrett Lethal stuff. You know, the antics with Aubrey Edwards and Sonjay Dutt at the end, you know, it was a little comical, but for 11 p.m. to midnight, I thought it was all right. I really don't have a problem with it. Kip Sabian, Orange Cassidy, though, was really good also. But yeah, I think they'll do a little better. I think they'll probably get like 277,000. I'll go with 277 with the rating. 277. All right, everyone. I'm out of here. Wow. We did a whole Don Tony show on Vince McMahon. 75 minutes worth. Like I said, thank you, Vince. No, obviously, for giving me wrestling content for 40-plus years. But today, you know, I really was hesitant on doing a show because I had to get these freaking biopsies done yesterday, and it still hurts like hell. It really does. So when this broke, I said, okay, you know, let's do a show, but let's just focus on Vince. This way, when people tune in, it's everything you want to know about Vince. And again, I'm not trying to disrespect anyone else out there, but maybe Cornette will do it. Conan will do it. Russo will do it. Bischoff, those guys, you know, they will do the work and the research. Brian Last, Brandon Thurston does great research as well. But for your everyday site and podcaster out there, they're going to just focus on, oh, evil Vince is back. Everything Triple H has done. Here it go again. He fucked Triple H with black and gold. Now he's doing it again with the main roster. And, oh, this decision was probably Vince through Bruce Pritchard. I'm like, just enjoy it, man. Just enjoy it. And I'll enjoy this super chat from Kevon Lewis closing it out. Who gets WWE? Mickey Mouse and friends? Disney's not buying WWE. I just can't see it. Oh, everybody. See, I can't do Mickey Mouse with my throat. But I just picture, like, you know, Mickey Mouse, like, announcing everyone, like, in Disney World, like here's Stone Cold. Yay! Disney is more about family fun entertainment. I look, Disney's got some programming that, you know, not recommended for children, but I just don't see Disney and WWE. Let me put it this way. If Disney were to get WWE, I guarantee it'll overpay. And I think a lot of people out there would be like, in WWE, be like, stupid motherfuckers. Seriously. I can't see it. But it would be funny if Disney bought WWE. That's not happening. Kevon wants me to stay around a little bit longer. Another five spot. WWE on a pole match. Don Tony versus Tony Khan at WrestleMania. I'm too old to be climbing poles. Shit. I don't even want to climb like a stepladder anymore. So I honestly, if I had the money, I wouldn't buy WWE. Too complex. I wouldn't even buy AEW. It's too complex. If I had the money still, I would maybe consider starting a small little indie promotion, you know, just offer some local entertainment. But even that, you know, it's indie wrestling is not what it was 10, 20 years ago. You know, there's so many agendas. Plus, you have to put certain types of matches out there. And if you don't, you could be labeled. You know, it's just, you know, you got to know your audience. And regional is so important. Certain areas of, in the United States, because it's where I live, certain areas in the United States, there's certain styles of wrestling that you wouldn't do in different areas in the United States. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know how well an indie promotion would do, a brand new one right now. That's why if you notice, even some wrestlers who got involved with indie promotions in the last couple of years, a lot of them failed before they even started. Because what they perceived the indie wrestling world to be isn't what it was. And a lot of people had some, you know, hard facts being dropped on them, and they got devastated, man. They got devastated. So, no, seriously. If Vince was a fan of my shows and he passed and he left all his stock to Don Tony, believe me when I tell you, I'd throw it on eBay the next day. Seriously, I wouldn't want it. I bought 100. Well, no. Did I buy 100 shares? No, I didn't buy 100. Did I buy 100 shares? I spent like 20. I got to look at the. I still have the receipt in my old hard drive. I spent like $2,200. So it must have been around 100 shares. And when I sold it, I think the stock was only at $11. I took a loss. You know, remember the days when the WWE stock was like $9 and maybe $9.99? I remember when the WWE stock was around $10. Sure, just for inflation. But now Kevon Lewis says Don Tony versus Tony Khan Coke on a pole match. If it's Coke Zero, I'll take it. If it's the white stuff, yeah, Tony Khan could have it. I don't think my heart would be able to handle it, man. No Coke for me. What's up with putting me up in matches with Tony Khan, man? So, I'm going to get out of here. Everyone has been real. Please, I know I asked this on a lot of shows, but I would love your reaction to what I said about the Vince stuff today. I want to make full disclaimer before I leave, and this is the God honest truth. I truly believe Vince McMahon returning helps WWE business-wise. But I also believe that Vince McMahon could hurt WWE in a great way as well. Because, you know, you realize that he is back because he wants to maximize what WWE can make. Sometimes those business decisions might go against what we believe, or it may affect us in a negative way. You know, like selling it to another company, if, sure, they may keep Stephanie, they may keep Triple H, but they're not obligated to. And if they invest, especially if you deal with a $1 trillion company, imagine working out a sale with a $1 trillion company, and then they put their own people in there, and what we see on TV is just doesn't have the WWE vibe, and you start losing revenue substantially. You know, those $1 trillion companies will write that son of a bitch off as quickly as possible, and I think WWE could just fail and close. I mean, I'm not predicting that. We don't even know who would consider that. But, you know, him returning could hurt WWE. It really depends on what negotiations are done. And if it is a sale, if it's just a merger, Vince could still have the power that he has. So, you know, understand, as long as Vince has those shares and as long as Vince has that majority ownership, that guy could say and do whatever he wants, whether you like it or you don't. But I ask you, if you owned something and had 80% ownership and you were forced to step aside a little bit, and now what you majority owns, other people are considering to sell, considering to merge with, considering to bring people aboard, you wouldn't want to have the final say? Why? Because it makes the internet wrestling community say, you know, got to give Vince credit. You know, he stepped down and he's letting them, you know, make these deals even if they're not well received. You know, you don't want to ink a deal, have the stock tank, and then try to, there's no do-over. So, you know, in the end, I do believe Vince helps WWE on the business side. But, you know, as far as creative goes, I'm not concerned. Until we actually see and witness a change where he is back in creative, where he starts implanting other people in that company, I'm not going to go that doom and gloom clickbait stuff because it's not accurate. It feels good. It sounds good. And it's almost believable, but at the end of the day, it has zero to do with what's going on right now. That's why I was very, very careful to write repeatedly, Vince McMahon returns to WWE corporate. Corporate, remember that. But I'm curious what your reactions are. Post it in the comment section. If you want to join me tomorrow, like I said, tomorrow we got the sit down. 8:05 p.m. is the start. And, yeah, we'll have a fun one tomorrow, and then we got Monday. And Monday we'll get into, you know, Sasha Banks, New Japan. The event is announced. She's going to be taking on Kairi. It's happening in California, which is going to be pretty cool. That event's almost sold out already. You check out Ticketmaster, they sold out about 80% of the building. So it's going to be a complete sellout. Sasha Banks might be what's needed to get more viewers for New Japan programming in the United States. You know, Mercedes Renato, it's, you know, Mercedes Moné. I got to get used to the name. So, but all right, I'm out here, everyone. Much love. Have a great weekend. And I hope to see you either Sunday night for the sit down or Monday for our Raw post show. Should be some interesting stuff going on. So, all right, everybody, much love. Be well. Take care.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you. Oh, your delivery guy has... Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup. And I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody. While they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.